Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm so excited to have my next guest here. We have Vanessa Phillips, who is the co-founder and CEO of Feel Good Foods. And Feel Good Foods, if you are not familiar with it, is shaking up the frozen food game with their lineup of gluten-free and all-natural snacks and meals. And her mission started from a very personal place, dealing with celiac disease, and she wanted to whip up some tasty treats in order to be able to eat great food. And so she did it, and she did it super well. Teaming up with Chef Trigg Severson, Vanessa has taken Feel Good Foods from a small startup to a big player in the natural food space, and you definitely need to know about it for sure. All the quality, transparency, and pushing the envelope, everything that great entrepreneurs do is exhibited by Vanessa. So I'm thrilled that she agreed to come on the show. So Vanessa, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to chat.
Very excited. So talk to me a little bit about, first of all, what inspired you to start Feel Good Foods? I gave everybody a tiny snippet, but I'd love to hear the story from you.
Yeah, of course. I grew up in New York City, and growing up, my family owned restaurants throughout Manhattan. They owned bagel shops and Chinese restaurants. And from a very early age, I loved food and I ate at my dad's restaurants a lot. So I ate a lot of bagels as a kid. Very New York of me. I ate a lot of Chinese food. My favorite was dumplings and egg rolls. And as I got older, I started developing just like a wide range of kind of like unexplained symptoms. It felt like everything I was eating was making me feel sick, and it wasn't gastro issues. It was like a lot of really random, weird symptoms like tingling in my hands and feet, brain fog, just feeling tired all the time, waking up after 10 hours of sleep, exhausted, tons of burning and numbing sensations. So it was a really long journey, but when I was 20, I was finally diagnosed with celiac disease. And that took me on a journey of refusing to give up the foods that I loved and that I had been eating throughout my life. And I started researching, obviously living a gluten-free life and what that was going to look like for me. And then it turned into finding foods that I could eat again in a gluten-free version, and falling in love with food again, but in a much healthier way. And once I brought those foods back into my life, it would just, my like destiny was very clear. I had to bring those foods to everyone else. I wanted to like scream from the rooftops that I had figured out how to have these foods again and share it with other gluten-free people.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options: keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code GOLDEN50 at factormeals.com/GOLDEN50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Well, and you've done it super, super well. So what was the first SKU that you launched with?
pot stickers. So the gluten-free pot stickers were our flagship product. So like I said, my dad owned all these Chinese restaurants, and creating a gluten-free pot sticker is no easy task. But when I went gluten-free, like that was the first order of business, was to figure out how to be able to eat a pot sticker again. And it was years and years and years of R&D. I mean, we would try it and then it didn't work. And then we'd have to go back to the drawing board and try it again. I mean, it was really, really hard to do. And when we finally came up with a product that we thought was, you know, really like held its own against a pot sticker made with wheat, I put them in a Ziploc bag. I had absolutely no experience around CPG or manufacturing at the time. I was actually running my restaurant outside the Chelsea Market in Manhattan. And I kind of just had this crazy idea to send pot stickers to Whole Foods, thinking that I would never hear back. I remember going to FedEx and typing up how I would prepare them. I had like a mock-up of what the packaging would look like if we actually were to like launch in retail. And I sent it off to Whole Foods. And 2 weeks later, they emailed us and they said that it was great and tasted great. And they were going to launch us in 27 stores. And it was three SKUs. It was the vegetable, chicken, and pork. And that was our start.
That's wild. I read that story. That's such a crazy story. I mean, I love these stories, how people get into their first store. It's like it's so awesome. So you didn't even have your packaging completed.
No, we didn't. And it was like a crash course after that on like how to launch a CPG brand. I was like, okay, we've got 4 months to learn everything. And it's amazing how quickly you will learn it when you're under pressure.
Yeah, that is so true. So they launched you in the New York region, or how many stores did you get?
It was 27 stores. It was at that time, the North Atlantic region, which is from Maine and then into parts of Connecticut, primarily Massachusetts. So what we did is we moved to Boston and we decided to just dedicate ourselves full time to demoing at Whole Foods for about 4 months. We demoed twice a day, 5 days a week. We would just drive like throughout those 27 stores, we would just drive from one Whole Foods to the next. That was my marketing. That was my way to educate as many Whole Foods shoppers as I possibly could around this. At the time, was just so disruptive. I mean, a gluten-free pot sticker did not exist. No one had ever had it. No one had ever heard of it. So I felt that it was really important that I get as many people as possible to try it. And it was, I think, the most powerful thing I've ever done in my business till this day. Our sales were through the roof. When we met with the buyer 4 months later, he was like, wow, this is impressive. And then he took the egg rolls and we went national really quickly.
That's wild. I love hearing that story. So what were you doing? I know you grew up in the restaurant industry, but what were you doing personally before starting this company?
I owned a restaurant that's still around today. There's actually 10 of them today, Friedman's. So we opened Friedman's prior to starting Feel Good Foods. And the idea around Friedman's was to be like a quick service cafe that had a lot of gluten-free options. And this was at a time where gluten-free was still really fringy. People assumed that if it was gluten-free, it wasn't going to taste as good. So we were like really redefining the gluten-free dining experience in Manhattan. And the restaurant became really popular and also became a destination for people who were traveling to New York City and they were searching for gluten-free restaurants. So it was, for me, it was sort of like the stepping stone to Feel Good Foods, because we would get people from all over the world that would say, I wish I had a gluten-free restaurant like this where I live in Minnesota or Iowa. And I was like, wow, like just like such a light bulb moment. I was like, okay, so how do I reach more people without franchising a restaurant? How do I really get inside people's homes and develop something that's going to make their lives easier, but also like give them joy in being able to eat the foods that they so much miss? So we were running a restaurant for several years when we put the pot stickers in a Ziploc bag and sent it to Whole Foods. And that acceptance, I mean, that one yes from Whole Foods is what gave me that career kind of, you know, I pivoted and I was like, okay, running this restaurant's been really fun, but it's time for me to go build a brand.
So you launched the partnership with your ex-husband, chef, and at the time was married, correct? Trigg.
Yes.
And how has your combined expertise contributed to the brand's success? I mean, obviously, you guys are still very much a part of it. The company didn't break apart. You know, just talk to me about sort of the essence of both of you guys doing it together still.
Yeah. So Trigg and I, we met when we were, well, I was actually about to say we met when we were kids, which is just something that you say as you're getting older, because we were not kids. I was 22, but I felt like a kid. We met, it was very soon after I had been diagnosed with celiac, and we were working at a restaurant together, and he was the chef. And the relationship between Trigg and I started with me just telling him all the foods that I missed. Mm-hmm. And the list was long, and he was, still is, very, very talented chef. So he was really inspired and challenged by all the foods that I couldn't have anymore. So he started mm-hmm. cooking for me. And the more he cooked for me and the more I ate his food, the more I knew I needed to share his food with other people. So that was when we opened Friedman's together. And, you know, coming from the restaurant industry, I obviously had a very different perspective. I was more front of the house. He was back of the house. We ran Friedman's together. The menu eventually evolved where everything on the menu could be prepared gluten-free. And, you know, together we did a lot of research and a lot of recipe development. And we at first did not think that we were going to go into CPG. I mean, our background was restaurants. I mean, that was really like what we knew. We, you know, we kind of like stumbled into this industry and, you know, together it really was a perfect combination, because for me, it was all about like delivering on a promise that I was going to be able to continue to eat the foods I loved. It was coming from like a very personal place. I was super connected to our consumer and, you know, people who had food challenges and intolerances and just living from that place of deprivation. And for him, it was about creating, you know, having that challenge and living in that space of like, I'm a chef and I'm a creator and I love food science and I'm up for this challenge and I am going to create foods that have never existed before in a gluten-free form. So it was a really powerful partnership and combination. And it is really what has set us apart in frozen food, of being able to create foods that no one has ever done before. Like, we are not like a Me Too, right? Like, everything that we launch, we're all about being the first to do it.
So launching products inside of a restaurant where people are going to consume them right away versus actually launching a CPG brand. I mean, you're making it sound so easy, but there's some steps that definitely go in there. We've had many people on the show talking about, you know, the mistakes that they made along the way in trying to figure that out. But especially when you don't have somebody else, you know, who's done this, right? You guys are figuring it out. You're talented in terms of figuring out the right products and the recipes. But what were some of the biggest challenges in really figuring out how to get this to a point where you could actually package it up?
It's funny when you compare it to a restaurant, because we talk about that a lot, that the transaction time is so much longer in CPG than a restaurant. Like a restaurant, you sell it to, you know, you sell a product to them, they eat it that day and it's over, right? Whereas with CPG, I mean, that transaction time could be months, months later. So, I mean, it is a very different business model. And there were so many challenges throughout the way. I mean, there still are every day. You know, I always say that being an entrepreneur in general is a very manic depressive lifestyle. Like you could have in the period of one day, you could literally win the lottery and then come home and find out that your house is on fire and you've lost all of your belongings. It is just so many highs and so many lows. And we had to learn a lot really, really quickly, right? I mean, frozen is logistically super challenging. You have to learn all of the ins and outs of distribution and how to work with retailers. And it's a very, very complex business. I think that for me, just the kind of person I am, is I've had to really learn a lot of discipline and the art of patience. I can be very impulsive. I want everything to happen today. Yesterday, you know, within 5 minutes, right? So it just doesn't work that way, you know, and you have to be really, really patient. And that is something that like I still have to work on every single day, that I'm not going to get the answer I want or the distribution that I want right away. So just really focusing on being patient is, I would say, been the biggest challenge for me.
So how many SKUs do you have now in the brand?
25
SKUs. That's incredible.
Yeah, so and how primarily snacks and apps. So we, you know, we've got like the pot stickers and then we've really expanded and evolved the snack and appetizer line. And then breakfast has been like our newest innovation category. And that is we've got pancake bites and stuffed bagels. And then we just launched a couple months ago, which is part of the snack and app category, but we launched handheld burritos.
Yeah, and those are terrific. They're so great. So I'd love to hear, are there any changes in terms of your market strategy from the beginning? Like you started with pot stickers, now you've got 25 SKUs. How do you view the company overall? You mentioned launching breakfast, but is there anything that you think about it when you were first starting this that has really shifted as you've kind of grown? I don't know that you've actually grown up, but you've grown, right? You're yeah. Not done at all.
No, I mean, I think that the market size has expanded tremendously since we first launched. You know, when I started the company, I was very laser focused on just feeding celiacs or those with gluten intolerance. And obviously that is still, you know, a very, very important consumer for me. I feel that I mirror them every single day. I'm living that life. But where Trigg's expertise has been so valuable is that, you know, he's not gluten-free. So the innovation that he was creating was not just to feed celiacs, but to feed people who were looking for convenience and who were looking for delicious foods that were made with simple ingredients. So our consumer pool has expanded a lot because I really underestimated early on how that group of people needed a solution too. I was so laser focused on the celiacs. And then, you know, as our brand started to evolve and grow, we're like, you know what? These foods are so delicious. They're not just for celiacs. They're not just for people who even have any dietary restrictions. It's a brand that is for everyone. It offers a solution for everyone. And that market size is so much bigger than I ever expected when I launched. And it's been overwhelming to see how Feel Good Foods is able to go into so many different types of homes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think typically when you have more than one person in a home, and especially one person that has some sort of dietary restriction, you're going to find people with different dietary issues that they're dealing with. So I think really trying to figure out who else is in the home too is super, super smart so that you don't pigeonhole your brand into just being one thing for sure. So funny mistakes are always the best when entrepreneurs are talking about along the way that they never really thought that there was a skew that they would develop where it actually turned out to be great. Or maybe there was one that you thought was going to work, but it just wasn't going to work. Can you share any stories like that?
Oh, well, we've had a lot of really funny mistakes. So I could start with that first. When we first launched, like our very first packaging run. So the pot stickers are made, the wrapper's made from rice. So just like if you're making rice, you prepare them in a nonstick pan with water, a little bit of oil, and you cover the pan with a lid. And it's absolutely essential that you keep the pan covered with a lid, because once all the water evaporates, that's when they're ready. So our first packaging run ever, we noticed that after it printed, we forgot to include that very crucial line, which is cover pan with lid. And we had all of this packaging and actually product that we had already packaged going out to distribution without that crucial cooking instruction step. So Trig and his parents, we had a stamp made that said cover pan with lid, this like really hideous bright red stamp. And we had to manually stamp 27,000 cartons with cover pan with lid, to the point where if a consumer bought it, they probably thought we were yelling at them. I mean, they turned over the back and there were like these like neatly typed uniform instructions. And then this big red stamp that said cover pan with lid. So that was probably the most like unfortunate mishap. And that happened within 3 days of launching. So, it, oh you know, gosh. I think that always like, always the biggest mistakes are the ones like really early on. So that's one that really stands out. In terms of like product launches, you know, it's always interesting because you will launch products and sometimes you are surprised. There are SKUs that I thought, you know, were going to be more of a home run than others. But, you know, for the most part, I think that like typically we do so much consumer work. We ask our consumers a ton of questions. We're constantly going on social media and we're like, what do you miss? You know, we are shopping the aisles of grocery stores. We're seeing what's out there and we're really trying to bring something that is unique and different. So I haven't had too many shocks around products not being well received.
So when you think about the different SKUs that you have and maybe there's one that's kind of your favorite, or maybe there's one that is really the runaway bestseller and that's because it's your favorite. But what would that be? Is there, of the 25 items, is there one that has sort of emerged? I think that it's always interesting, you know, when you look at SKUs. I know with our company Hint, there's definitely, it's the BlackBerry. And part of the reason why it's the BlackBerry is that that's what the buyers have chosen to put in every single set. But I think also it's one that pretty much every consumer enjoys when they try it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, no question, the pot stickers. They are just untouchable for us in terms of distribution and velocity and consumer loyalty. And it's the product that it's where it all began. It's the product that I personally still eat on a regular basis. It's so interesting because when I was a kid, pot stickers, that was my comfort food, you know, mm-hmm. like it was like my chicken soup, right? Like I would be sick or sad or what have you. And I would just immediately say, oh, I'm going to order some dumplings from my dad's Chinese restaurant. And that is still true today, is that whenever I need that little lift, I go right for our chicken pot stickers and it just hits the spot every time. It like instantly puts a smile on my face. It is like totally my comfort food. So yeah, that is definitely my favorite product. And based on sales, and I would say that that is consumers' favorite product too. The mozzarella sticks are also, they're newer and they're really, really popular. And, I would say it's a very close second to the pot stickers. And the mozzarella sticks, you know, it's just like everyone's favorite, like bar food or bowling alley food. And I just have such memories of being a kid after school. We would go to this restaurant, Jackson Hole in the city, and I would go with my friends and I would eat mozzarella sticks and I loved them. And I had not had a mozzarella sticks since Feel Good Foods. So for me, like, it's still such a treat when I buy Feel Good Foods, because I'm like not over that hump yet. I'm like, wow, like this is still something that I had not had in, you know, 17 years.
I would imagine that word of mouth is so huge for you guys for getting the word out, but are there other things that really work? I get this question all the time from entrepreneurs, like, how do I know I don't have any money to spend on, you know, Facebook ads or marketing? I mean, how else do you think people can get the word out about their brand if they're launching something new?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to, especially early on, I mean, just always to promote, because, you know, people, it's just when you're shopping the frozen aisle, especially, I mean, that's obviously the category I know best. When you're shopping, I mean, your eye is always going to be drawn to a shelf tag, right? Mm-hmm. So anytime you're on sale and you get that shelf tag up there, like right away, your eye goes to it and you're going to get the most trial, you know, when you're promoting, when you're on sale. I mean, that's when people typically are going to be more apt to be like, ooh, all right, I'll give this a try. Why not? It's on sale. Obviously, though, the product has to taste really good, because that's where the repeat comes. So, mm-hmm. you know, going on sale is great for that trial. But if the product doesn't taste good, then it's a one and done.
Yeah, that's so true. So consumer feedback, so critical. I always say that that consumer feedback is often the energy, the gas that founders need, right? That you know that you're doing something right. And especially during those manic days where you've got the highs and the lows, you get one of those consumer emails that say, you know, thank you, and which I'm sure that you have gotten. But what is one of the best ones that you've received that really made your day?
Oh my gosh. Oh, so many. I read them all and I'm still like so surprised. I mean, I've been invited to people's wedding, baby shower. Right? I mean, yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, definitely the personal invites that I get to people, you know, to asking me to join them on, you know, the most personal day of their life is, you know, because we Feel Good Foods and it has made such an amazing impact for them in their lives. That like always really touches me, because I think about, you know, the day when, you know, whether it was my wedding or when I had my child or preparing for my child. I mean, these are such personal days, right? So whenever I get invited to something like that, it definitely like takes my breath away.
Yeah, definitely. So best advice for founders or someone thinking about starting their own company, knowing what you know today?
I think about this a lot, because it is so, so challenging. And I remember asking for a lot of advice when I was starting out. And the one advice that I never got that I would give to someone today is to make sure that you are so obsessed and so in love with your idea, because there's going to be so much that's going to get taken from you throughout the process. You're going to get a lot of no's. You are going to feel sometimes so low at the end of the day. You're going to lose a lot of distribution. You're going to have meetings where you're going to go home and say, God, that just like was not my best work. You're going to feel very rejected. But the one thing that no one can ever take from you is the connection and the love that you will have with your company, with your product, with your brand, with your passion. And if you don't start from a place of being so in love with your idea, then none of it will be worth it.
I love that. So, Vanessa, thank you so much for coming on. Vanessa Phillips, co-founder and CEO of Feel Good Foods. We'll have all the info in the show notes, but thank you again. And thank you for developing an incredible range of products, but also company, and really, really yummy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.